Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
I'm saying to you that Jesus Christ is sovereign over the churches, sovereign over our lives, sovereign over death and hell. Therefore, love and obey him. Therefore, trust him with all of your heart. Therefore, each day when you get up, look to Jesus. Always keep your ears open so that you will hear Jesus.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe, Senior Pastor of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Do you recognize the authority of Jesus Christ? The Bible tells us that God appoints all leaders and authorities, but we must never forget that He is sovereign over all. Today we continue in the book of Revelation as we learn about the authority of Jesus Christ as Lord of the churches. Now, let's join Pastor John Monroe.
Does it surprise you that the Lord Jesus is walking among the seven churches? What would Jesus see if he were to come to your church? Today we're continuing our study of the book of Revelation. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, who is Lord of the universe and Lord of the churches. Before the Lord Jesus gives the letter to the seven specific churches, the Apostle John describes Jesus Christ in verses 9 through 20 of Revelation 1. What a magnificent description. It may not be the kind of description you expected, but we learn much about the attributes and power of our Lord Jesus. Let's learn that not only is Jesus Lord of the universe and Lord of the churches, he's Lord over death and Hades. Place your trust in him.
I ask you to open your Bible to Revelation chapter 1. Now here, there is a sevenfold symbolic description of the Lord Jesus in verses 14 through 16. Let's read it together. Here's the vision of Jesus. What does Jesus look like? The hairs of his head were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun, shining in full strength. Here is the Son of Man. He's clothed with a long robe. He's got a golden sash around his chest. Notice the first description in verse 14. The hairs of his head were white like wool, as white as snow. White refers to age. It points to the Ancient of Days, who is the Eternal One. White also speaks of holiness and of purity. The point is that the Lord Jesus is infinite in his purity. He is infinite in his holiness. Secondly, verse 14, his eyes were like a flame of fire. This suggests the infinite wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. Hebrews 4, verse 13 reminds us that nothing is hidden from his sight, and all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Third, his feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, verse 15. This refers to the Lord's judgment. This Lord Jesus is no meek and mild one. He's presented here as one who's strong, who will ultimately trample and destroy all of his enemies under his feet. But now he is going to protect the church and he's going to purge his church. Number four, again in verse 15, his voice was like the roar of many waters. When he speaks, surely we must listen, we must be silent, and we must obey. Let me ask you, are you listening to this voice? This voice is like the roar of many waters. Number five, verse 16. In his right hand he held seven stars. The seven stars, we're going to find in verse 20, are the angels of the seven churches. These are messengers of the seven churches. The point is that the Lord directs and controls the churches. Number six, verse 16. From his mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword. This clearly refers to the word of God, which is all-powerful and which will destroy all of the enemies of God. When he returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we see from chapter 19 that from his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. Number 7, end of verse 16. His face was like the sun shining in full strength. He's the Son of Righteousness. His glory is unique. It's preeminent. And when he returns, Habakkuk tells us that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The glory of the Lord Jesus is to permeate the local church. Now let's read on. We see Jesus Christ, sovereign Lord over the churches. Now in verses 17 through 20, Jesus Christ is sovereign Lord over death and Hades. Verse 17, when I saw him, John says, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore the things that you've seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. What's the point? That the Lord Jesus has authority not only over the churches, he has authority over death and hell. Surely verses 17 and 18 are some of the most brilliant and powerful and encouraging words in all of the Bible. Notice how Jesus is described. He says, I am the first and the last. Turn back in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 44, if you can find that. Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Beside me there is no God. Who's the first and the last in Isaiah 44? God, Yahweh, the Lord. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? There is no rock. I know not any. Throughout the Old Testament, it is repeated over and over again that there is only one God. There's no one else. Oh yes, there's false gods. But the true God is described here in Isaiah 44 verse 6 as the first and the last. And now we come to the New Testament. And how does Jesus describe himself? I'm the first and the last. What's the point? Jesus is God. The title, the first and the last, that is describing God in the Old Testament, is applied to Jesus in the New Testament. This Lord Jesus, the Son of Man, who is in the midst of the church now, is declared eternally alive. I am the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. This one who's in the midst of the churches is eternally alive. It is true, verse 5 of Revelation 1, that he has freed us from our sins by his blood. What is it that frees us from our sins? What is it that gets rid of our guilt? Psychotherapy? Discussing it with others? We are freed from our sins by his blood. But not only did Jesus Christ die for our sins, not only does he free us from our sins by his own blood, we have here this wonderful truth that he is alive forevermore. Jesus has conquered death. Hebrews 2 tells us he has destroyed the one who has the power of death, namely the devil. And he says here, don't you love it? End of verse 18, I have the keys of death and Hades. Do you realize that the only escape from death, the only escape from Hades itself, is our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, was buried, rose from the dead, and is alive forever. That's why you must place your faith in Jesus Christ. No one else can unlock the gates of heaven and let you in. No one else has the keys of death and of hell other than our Lord Jesus Christ, who not only died and went into death, but has gloriously risen from the dead and is alive. And without him as your Savior, you not only face physical death, but you face the second death, eternal death. And here we have this magnificent description of Jesus, that he is the sovereign Lord over death and Hades. He is the living one. Now you say, what's our response to all of this? What's your response that Jesus is Lord of the churches? What is your response that Jesus is Lord of death and Hades? What's your response as we thought of this vision of Jesus? What's your response to this one who's infinitely holy, infinitely majestic, infinitely powerful? What's your response? What was the response of the angels in Isaiah 6? So holy is God that even the angels do not look on the face of God, but worship him with veiled face, saying, holy, holy, holy. So holy is God that when Isaiah the prophet, the great prophet, goes into the temple of God and catches a vision of the Lord who is high and lifted up, he says this, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm ruined. I'm lost. So holy is God that we cannot look on God's essential being and live. So holy is God that the Bible says that the very heavens are unclean in his sight. So holy is God that when the blameless Job goes into the presence of God, he says, I repent with dust and ashes. So holy is Jesus that when Peter is confronted with that miracle of the harvest of fish, he falls at the feet of Jesus and says, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. So holy is the Lord that when John catches a vision of the majesty and the brilliant purity and glory of Jesus, he falls at his feet as though dead. What's your response? One of our problems in the church is that we've such a high view of ourselves and such a low view of God. We have all these debates, much of them silly, about worship. We want our worship to be about us, about how I feel, about my style, about my preference, about what it means to me. And so often, if we're not careful, we're putting ourselves at the center of worship. We're putting ourselves at the center of life, rather than understanding that Jesus is the sovereign Lord. And he is walking in the midst of the churches. Can you picture him walking in our midst, knowing all that's going on and seeking to direct us? Surely we must fall on our faces in humble worship and say like Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone. Now notice what happens when John falls at the Lord's feet as though dead. This is utterly amazing. This is amazing grace. Verse 17. He laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not. This is the sovereign Lord. This is the first and the last. This is God. This is the living one. This is the one who has the keys of death and Hades. He knows John is a sinful man. What does he do? He reaches out and touches John and says, fear not. Not. His words and actions are of grace, are of forgiveness, are of compelling love. And this is what the Lord Jesus still does. As we're confronted with him, he still reaches out in his grace, touches us, and says, fear not. Have you ever experienced the touch of the Master's hand? You know, for authentic followers of Jesus, to those who have been freed from their sins by his blood, to those, there is no need to fear the past. I meet many people, in a sense, who are paralyzed by the past. Bitterness, anger, someone has wronged them. Guilt, burdened. They can't get beyond something that happened in the past to them or something that they have done. I want to remind you that all of our sins, if you're a follower of Christ, all of our sins have been forgiven. They've all been wiped clean. This sovereign Lord, as we saw last week, loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. There is nothing, nothing about my past that I need to fear. Well, the devil tries to take you back. The devil wants to remind you of that terrible sin that you've committed. The devil keeps wanting you to focus on that injustice that was perpetrated against you. But Jesus reaches to us and says, fear not. To those who are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, there is nothing to fear in our past. There's certainly nothing to fear in the present because Jesus is with us. He's promised never to leave us. He's promised never to forsake us. And surely there is no need to fear your future. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the living one. He's alive forevermore. He has the keys of death and Hades. He is the Lord of the future. He has conquered the grave. He's conquered death itself. And he's with you for all of your life, through death, through the worst of circumstances. And he has promised to be with you forever. And there is nothing in the future which can separate you from the love of God. There is nothing in your future that can happen to you apart from the sovereign plan of the Lord of the universe. The devil himself can't snatch me out of his hand. You say, John, but you don't know my future. My future's dark. My future's difficult. I've got many fears. I understand. When we look ahead, there are things that can cause fear, employment issues, exams, health concerns, family problems, a violent and a very uncertain world, economic, there's the market plummets, and this can all bring fear and worry and fretting into our lives. I want you to stop. I want you to look at Christ and this majestic vision that we are given. I want you to look at Jesus. Not the Jesus of your imagination, but the Jesus revealed here in Revelation 1. And I want you to hear his words to you. Fear not. I want you to experience in a fresh way the touch of the Master's hand on you. Remember in our study of Hebrews, Hebrews 13, verse 6, the Lord is my helper, I will not, what? Fear. So many of us are living in fear. So many of us are consumed with worry and fretting about your future. This is the Lord of the future. He's a living one. He has conquered death. He's conquered the grave. He's conquered the devil. He is with us. He will never, ever leave us. In Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, Christian is making his way up a very narrow path towards the Porter's Lodge. Some of you will remember the story. And Christian, in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, comes to a place where two lions are chained by a passage. You see it? One on his right and one on his left. But Christian is so occupied by the lions that he doesn't see that they're chained. He doesn't see the chains. And he's afraid. And he's about to turn back when the porter, called Watchful, calls to him and says this, "Fear not the lions, for they are chained and are placed there for trial of faith where it is and for discovery of those that have none. Keep in the middle of the path and no hurt shall come unto thee." So Christian presses forward, keeping on the straight path, Bunyan says, by fixing his eyes on watchful. The lions roared, but did Christian no harm. That's it. We have an enemy. Peter describes him like a lion. The devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Do you hear his roar? He's very fierce, isn't it? It's very scary. Makes things very, very uncertain in life. What's the answer? Not to look at the lions. They're chained. They're under the sovereign control of the Lord of the universe. No, I'm to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm to keep following Jesus. His path is always safe. It's a path of righteousness. It's not a path that the world may applaud, but I'm to keep looking to Jesus, and then I'm to keep on the straight path. And when I do that, there is absolutely nothing to fear. Now, if you want to go your own way, if you want to go off track, if you want to pet the lions, if you want to see how near you can get to the lions before they devour you, that's a different story. But my dear brother and my dear sister, I'm saying to you today, in this brilliant passage of Scripture, which warms our hearts, which informs our minds and motivates our wills, these truths that give us such a deep sense of joy and security and peace, I'm saying to you that Jesus Christ is sovereign over the churches, sovereign over our lives, sovereign over death and hell. Therefore, love and obey him. Therefore, trust him with all of your heart. Therefore, each day when you get up, look to Jesus. Always keep your eyes on Jesus. Always keep your ears open to that mighty roar like mighty waters, so that you will hear Jesus, that you will look to him. Do you hear him say this today? Fear not. I'm alive forevermore. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? On the authority of Scripture, I'm saying to you today, fear not. Jesus is alive forevermore. You have nothing to fear. Therefore, live for Christ. Shine for Christ. And if you don't know him, trust him with all of your heart.
You're listening to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the end of a message titled, Lord of the Churches. If you want to revisit today's lesson or find an earlier message from our current study on the first three chapters of Revelation, just go to our website at theverdict.org. While you're there, we also encourage you to get your free copy of the special Revelation listening guide that goes along with this study. Full of key notes, thoughtful questions, and practical applications for daily life, this handy printable workbook is a tool you'll want to have available as we go deeper in our study. And you can download or request your copy of the Revelation listening guide today by going online to theverdict.org. And when you do, be sure to also sign up for John's email newsletter. Once a month, John sends out exciting updates and opportunities here at The Verdict. So if you're not already on the list, sign up today at theverdict.org. We want to thank you for joining us and listening to The Verdict today. And if you value the work of this ministry, consider partnering with us to reach new listeners by giving a financial gift. Your generous contributions will help cover the cost to deliver the truth of God's Word through this radio program to your neighbors, your community, and all around the world. To partner with us today, just go to theverdict.org. Or send your gift in the mail by writing to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Do you know Jesus Christ, the living one, the eternal one? He's the only one who can give you eternal life. He died on the cross for our sins, was buried, was raised, and behold, he's alive forevermore. He's promised that if you come to him with humble repentance and place your trust in him, you will receive eternal life. Do that, and do that today. Don't forget to tune in next time as we consider the first letter to the first century churches, the letter to the church at Ephesus.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.